Back on Get Up, how about this finish last night in the WNBA? Shea Petty, a buzzer-beating three to give Phoenix an 85-84 win over the defending champion Washington Mystics. Petty only on the Mercury because she was cut by the Mystics earlier this year. So, redemption. Thy name is Shea Petty, and that's a buzzer-beating win. Meanwhile, the WNBA playoffs continue tomorrow night on ESPN2, starting with the Mercury and the Lynx. That's a 7 Eastern, followed by Candace Parker and the Sparks taking on the Sun. The winners advance to the WNBA semifinals. Both games are on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. We are busy here, as busy as can be. It's Get Up. We're coming to you live, as always, from above a Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Graziano is here working the phone. We got NFL news that we're working. We have college football news that we're working on as we speak. But our hour begins the only place it can. It is time to get up with double trouble in the bubble. Oh, what a night. The Clippers have a whole lot of explaining to do after the sort of week you may never bounce back from. Jalen Rose will join us with his thoughts. Meanwhile, wait until you see what Magic Johnson called the best defensive play ever. It was an incredible night in the NBA. And in this hour, we go live to Foxborough to answer the biggest question in the NFL. Can Cam keep it up and carry the Patriots all the way? Answers to all your questions as we get up with you starting right now. We don't begin with the game of the night. We begin with the upset of the night. Nuggets, Clippers, Game 7. Nuggets, 5-0 in elimination games this postseason. Clippers have never made it to a conference final. Third quarter, Nuggets lead is 6. Oh, look at the nice dish. Nikola Jokic, Jeremy Grant. Jokic, a triple-double before the third quarter ends. Nuggets, an 8-point lead going to the fourth. And I will say this as clearly as I can. In the fourth quarter, with their season on the line, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined for 0 points. That's George missing a corner three. More offense. Kawhi Leonard, no good. 4 minutes and change remaining. Clippers are down 15 points. Kawhi, no. They're going to get an offensive rebound. They're going to work it around. The ball is going to find George again in the corner. And take a look at this shot. Off the backboard, Doc Rivers can't believe what he is seeing. And the Nuggets smell blood in the water and they take advantage. 2.5 to go. The lead is 15. Oh, Jamal Murray. He would score 40 on the night. Stay with the play because it's a microcosm of the last three games. Kawhi stacked up. Denver's defense is good. It's going the other way. Leonard and George combined for 24 on the night. Again, 0 in the fourth quarter. And the Denver Nuggets, with one of the great stunners in recent NBA history, and maybe further than that, the party is on in Denver. They're moving on to take on the Lakers next.
I think internally, we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. You know, we can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tell of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
I'm the coach, and I'll take any blame for it, but we didn't meet our expectations, clearly, because we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing.
And look, give the Nuggets all the respect in the world, and there's no question they deserve it, but this was more of the same for the Clippers, who are now 0-8 all-time with a chance to reach the conference finals. They've gone 50 seasons without doing it. Jalen will join us later in the hour. Timmy Legs and Kendrick Perkins have gotten up early with us here. And we just heard Paul George say this season wasn't championship or bust for us. That's certainly not the way a lot of people on the outside looked at it. Timmy, I see you shaking your head. I'll start with you. What do you think?
I just think that's silly. The NBA doesn't work that way anymore. You put these teams together with a very tight window because you're talking about guys that are star players coming together to join up to win immediately. Everybody knows that. That's the logic around the NBA. That's the way the NBA looks now. If you go with guys that you drafted and their homegrown products the way the Nuggets have, maybe the window's a little bit different. But when you talk about star players, you know, entering free agency and ending up in the same place together, you're going there to win right away. So for me, that's just trying to deflect some of the, you know, colossal failure that this season is for the Clippers. This is the deepest rotation in the NBA. They were a team that on paper was the favorite to win it. And to go out the way that they did, losing 3 straight games to a Nuggets team, and 2 of which you had a double-digit lead in those games, is an epic failure. There's no other way around it. I know that they're going to try to soften this somehow to make it seem like this is some long-term project. Not the case, Greeny. The NBA doesn't work that way anymore. These are tight windows, and the window and the clock starts day one when you put these guys together.
Big Perk, I can hear you breathing heavy sighs over there. What are your thoughts this morning?
Is this the same Clipper team that had a pep rally preseason and talking about that they're not the little brothers to the Lakers anymore? The same Paul George that demanded a trade out of Oklahoma City to go pair up with a star in Kawhi Leonard in L.A. and saying that they're bringing Clipper Nation back and that the expectations are high and that they're competing with a title with the firepower that they had, and now you're telling me it's not a championship or bust team? I don't want to hear that nonsense. We all saw what we expected out of Paul George last night, and that's what he do in closeout games. He shoot a career low at 38% from the field, 22% from the three, and Greeny, that shot that he shot from the corner that hit off the side of the glass, I had to duck way in my house from Houston because I thought the ball was about to hit me. So I'm not trying to hear that. Patrick Beverly talking about check ball and, you know, before the bubble started, check ball. No, the only check ball you're going to be doing is in the south side of Chicago at the park because you didn't bring nothing to the table but a whole lot of barking. The Clippers was barking. They were talking a lot of noise. They were talking like they had been here before, and I said this before the season started. It's only one guy besides the coaching staff that actually have championship experience, and that was Kawhi Leonard. And he wasn't a guy that wasn't talking at all. Yes, he had a bad game last night, but he was tired. He was tired of carrying them. He had to carry them through the Dallas series. He had to carry them majority through this series on his shoulders where he had to guard Jamal Murray, and it took his legs from him. Look, this is one of the all-time bust seasons, bust teams ever. They were front runners, and there's nowhere around it.
I think that's well said. Guys, I have to leave it there for the moment. We'll do much more basketball as we go, but we have major breaking news into our newsroom, and this is what we have been waiting for all morning long, and it involves that man, and this conference. Do we have Heather standing by here, guys? Let's let her break the news because it's her story. Let's bring Heather and Paul into it. Go ahead, Heather. The floor is yours. What is the news this morning?
Good morning. Sources have confirmed that the Big Ten is expected to announce this morning that football is back. The date is still in the air. I'm not sure if it's going to be October 17th or October 24th. But, Greeny, I can confirm that Big Ten football is coming back.
Big Ten football. Coming back in mid-October. For those who are just joining us, Heather, catch everyone up on how we got here. On August 11th, they announced that they will not play, and they were talking about a spring season. Here we are about a month later. How did we get from there to here?
Well, there was certainly political and public pressure, but the 14 presidents and chancellors said they would not be swayed by that. The bigger topic I think we will hear a lot about today is going to be the changes in the medical information. Remember, Michigan State, you're talking about an epidemiologist and an infectious disease expert, right? So the medical information had to be buttoned up and changed in order for this decision to be made. I know that over the weekend they were presented with at least four new antigen tests for daily rapid testing results and also helping them with the contact tracing. I think the question is, and also going back to that date, October 17th or 24th, how quickly can they actually procure those tests? It took the Pac-12 a while to get them on each campus. So that could be part of the equation. There are still a lot of questions to be answered. But Greeny, to me, that is the number one, is the differences in the medical information help sway the presidents.
I think the number one question that most fans will have is, can they get a representative season in time to compete with the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC and try to get into the college football playoff? I literally just pulled out my calendar. If they start on October 17th, it's 10 weeks until the college football playoff selection special, which is set for December 20th. What is the plan, as far as you know it, about what they will do for a season?
Well, I haven't confirmed the exact plan, to be honest, but sources have said that they would like an eight or nine game season with the conference championship game being on December 19th, as you said, to sneak it in before that December 20th selection day. And I can tell you that if the Big Ten is going to be allowed back in the college football playoff, all 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick would make that decision. My gut says yes, of course they would let them in. But at the same time, you have to remember that not everybody is playing, right? And it's a shorter season for them to continue. So maybe it's a little bit of discussion, a difficult conversation, but I do think at the end, those commissioners will let them participate in the college football playoff. The question is, can Ohio State win it?
That will start to become the question. We get answers to these questions, then we can actually ask the fun questions. Paul Feinbaum, your reaction.
This is a very good day for the Big Ten, Greeny. They have been in the wilderness for 5 weeks and have taken a lot of shots, some justified, some not. But in the end, they looked around. They saw everyone was playing. The SEC, of course, coming next week. And they decided to get back in. I think it was the right call. And I think back to your question about the truncated season. I mean, they don't. If they start on the 24th, they're playing a very dangerous game. But it's worth playing at this point. If they have postponements, they deal with it. In my opinion, as long as the conference has a champion with a reasonable schedule, they are going to be in the playoff. I talked to Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, last Thursday. He said if they play 7 or 8 games, we would be in favor of them being in, and that's why they are making this decision. This is driven in some ways, in a lot of ways, because of Ohio State. They have one of the 2 or 3 best teams in the country. They have one of the best players in Justin Fields. And I think without that, we may not be here today, but Ohio State really, and Ryan Day, the head coach, drove this bus.
Let's go back to why you're saying it's a dangerous game. I understand it, but let's make sure that it's clear. If you leave yourself with a 9-week window and you want to play at least 8 games before you get to a conference championship, you're not leaving yourself any margin for error, which suggests that if you have cancellations based on the coronavirus somewhere along the line, you may find yourself with a problem.
Yeah, I think it depends on, and right now, as Heather said, it's either the 17th or the 24th. It may be more likely the 24th because they let this week get away from them. Had they announced it Sunday, they would have had a little more time. But I think I've talked to Mike Loxley of Maryland the other day. I've talked to other coaches. They are ready to come back. It's not like these coaches are living in a vacuum. They're watching all this in real time. So I'm sure the coaches are getting their teams ready to go on the practice field as soon as they get the green light. But ultimately, they will be playing in the college football playoff, even if they go to 7 games, Greeny. We're splitting hairs here because we don't know how many games anyone is going to play this season based already on the postponements.
Right. That's fair. But the schedule is what the schedule is. Remember, the Big Ten somewhat now legendarily released a schedule just a few days before they announced they weren't going to play in the first place. Heather, let me come back to you here. What have you heard from coaches and others you've talked to regarding what they will need to get started again? What will they need to do in order to get their players ready to start playing games sometime in October?
Well, ideally, it's been a 4-week mark, but we've heard from Wisconsin that it could be 3 weeks in order to get them able to physically prepare. Remember, they have been able to do some things in practice. They've had a minimum amount of practice time. But I do think that the key will be the contact, the hitting, and getting out there for a real preseason-type practice. They have not had that. And again, I point back to Navy's game against BYU to see just how disastrous a team can look when they don't have the proper amount of practice time or preparation, and that's exactly what they need. But when you have talent as elite as Ohio State does, certainly they can prepare quickly and they would be ready.
All right. Outstanding work. Heather Dinich again with the breaking news this morning. And Paul, thank you that the Big Ten is expected to announce today that they are coming back to play. They will resume sometime in October. The 17th or the 24th seem like the likeliest dates. I'm now being told that October 24th is emerging as the likely date. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Again, the news is continuing to develop as we go. We'll have more on that. We'll also have more from the NFL. Dominique will answer the question, who's harder to defend, Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson? That and more as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We'll talk about Cam and New England. Can he continue to carry this much of the load all the way to a championship? Shaping up to be a busy morning. Get up on ESPN. Come on, get up. We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, breaking news this morning. Big Ten football expected to return to action on October 24th. Our Adam Rittenberg is reporting that's just over a month today after the conference decided to postpone all fall sports on August 11th. They have breakthroughs in the area of rapid testing. We will have much more on this as we continue, but again, expected to announce today that Big Ten is coming back to play this fall. Meanwhile, the NFL has already come back. The Patriots won week one, and the biggest storyline was Cam Newton and his legs. He had 13 designed runs called for himself, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns on those plays. For perspective, Tom Brady, all of last season, had just 10 designed rushes called for him. Newton with a total of 15 rushing attempts in the game, the most ever by a Patriots quarterback in a single game. His 75 rushing yards were the most in New England since Steve Grogan in 1977. Maybe they should put a neck roll on Cam for the game coming up this weekend. That's an old reference, but my friend Mike Reese will definitely get it. It's time for one question with our Patriots reporter. And Mike, it's as simple as this. Those rushing stats from Cam Newton in week one, they sound good, but you start multiplying them over the course of 16 games, and the question is really simple. Is that a sustainable offensive approach for the Patriots this season?
Well, let me tell you what they're saying internally, Greeny. Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, said decisively that no team can expect to do the same thing over and over and over again and have it be sustainable. He said the Patriots' approach is to go week by week, look at the opposition and see what the Patriots can do best to attack them, while at the same time not putting any player in harm's way. Specific to Cam, McDaniel said, we obviously know we have a quarterback that can help us, but we have to be smart with what we do with it.
Mike Reese. Outstanding. We'll continue to lean on you all week long as we look ahead. They have a huge game coming up Sunday night against Seattle. Meanwhile, let me bring my crew back in here. I have Damian Woody, Dominique Foxworth, and Dan Graziano. And big fella, I'll start with you. You see the quarterback running it like that. You're an offensive lineman, so I know you love to see the power running game. But is that sustainable over the course of a season?
No, it's not. I mean, the amount of carries that Cam Newton has had, I don't think, you know, you multiply that over 16 games. It's just, I think you're just putting your quarterback in harm's way too many times. But here's the question I will pose to everybody. If you're not using Cam Newton, you know, utilizing his legs, what else are the Patriots going to do offensively? Because the last time I checked, you know, looking at their skill position, especially on the outside, they really don't have anyone to really scare you. That's one of the reasons why we saw, you know, people talked about a decline in Tom Brady is because of the lack of weapons on the outside. And I think it's the same thing with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a unique athlete at the quarterback position because not only can he throw, but he can, you know, he can run the football. So they can't run the ball that many times, but that's going to have to be a weekly staple for the Patriots offense in order to score the football.
I hear you. I feel like what you're saying, and I would agree with it, is right now the best thing they have on offense is Cam Newton running with the football. And, Dominique, I had Bart Scott in here, and he said, look, they're going to treat Cam Newton like a rented car because he's only on a one-year deal, and it's very inexpensive. And it was very funny the way he said it, like there'll be McDonald's wrappers on the ground, and they'll be smoking and all that kind of thing. But putting that analogy aside, like, that probably is one of the things they could consider doing. Do you think that works?
Yeah, it's a tremendous analogy. It's very funny until you really listen to it, and then it gets very sad for Cam Newton because he's right. And I think Cam Newton is big, strong, tough, durable enough to make it through this season no matter how many times they run him. But that's going to cost Cam Newton going in the future because they aren't going to extend Cam Newton long term, I don't think, no matter how great a season he has, because they understand that his days are numbered being the type of quarterback that he is. But I think he'll survive this season no matter how many carries they give him because I don't think he's going to get that many carries. So many of those runs were not designed only to be runs. They were RPOs, and he was taking what was given to him. So teams will recognize that you can't stop this team by sitting back and forcing Cam to run. They're going to try to force Cam to throw, and he threw the ball pretty well when they asked him to do it on Sunday or when, frankly, when the Dolphins forced him to do it on Sunday. So I suspect that Cam Newton is only going to get better. This Patriots team is going to, as they always do, kind of get better towards the end of the season.
What are you hearing, Dan Graziano, out of Foxborough?
When Josh McDaniels was the head coach of the Denver Broncos, he drafted Tim Tebow. There was an idea in Josh McDaniels' mind about a quarterback that was a runner and a game, an offensive game plan that could be built off of that. Cam Newton obviously has had the career that, you know, Tebow didn't, and is a far more sort of overall talented player, and this is years later. But I believe that what Josh McDaniels is putting together in New England is an offense that is based around the idea that, hey, this quarterback is a threat to run the ball, and in ways that other quarterbacks aren't, a power running quarterback, a goal line threat. So I don't think he runs 15 times a game. That's the second most he's ever run in a game in his career. I think if the Dolphins had been their week five opponent, we wouldn't be making as big a deal of it, right? Because it's week one, he ran 15 times. But I think everything will work off of that sort of structure of Cam Newton as the running quarterback, and everything you see develop in the passing game will have that at its heart.
And obviously, one more question quickly for Damian Woody, if I can. Big fella, you played for Bill Belichick. You know they will look different every single week. They're sort of chameleon-like in their offensive approach and defensive approach. Do you expect to see Cam Newton with that volume of running against Seattle Sunday night?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
It all depends on how they want to attack the defense. That's the Patriot way when you talk about them offensively. They're going to look to exploit any type of weakness that you've shown on tape. So I'm sure they're going to look at the Atlanta Falcons, you know, what the Atlanta Falcons did. And if the Patriots see something, a matchup or something that they like, they're going to exploit it. And if it means Cam Newton running it 15 times, they'll do it again.
Should be a very interesting game against Cam Newton against Russell Wilson Sunday night. We'll take a break. Coming up, again, we have major breaking news this morning from the Big Ten. We also have a play that Magic Johnson called the greatest defensive play ever. Jalen Rose will join us. Reese Davis will join us. It is busy. Stay with us. It's Get Up on ESPN.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
We are back on Get Up, and we have major breaking news coming from the Big Ten. They have released a statement that confirms the conference is coming back to play football this fall. They will begin the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. They released a statement that reads in part that they have voted unanimously to resume the season after adopting significant medical protocols, including daily antigen testing, enhanced cardiac screening, and an enhanced data-driven approach when making decisions about practice and competition. I'm literally reading that off my phone because it is just breaking as we go. The host of College Game Day is my friend Reese Davis, who jumps in here. Reese, this obviously is enormous news. What is your initial reaction?
I'm really happy about it, Greeny. First of all, because we're football fans, but I think there's also been a great deal of unintended consequence placed on the players by not having a season. And some of the other conferences have shown that with some strict protocols that this can be done effectively and still protect the players and protect them from spreading it to the community at large as best they can. Nothing's foolproof with this. It's still a virus, but I'm glad that the Big Ten has found some protocols that they are comfortable with and look forward to them being able to start the season. So I think it was a wise move, and I think as much as anything, I'm glad to see them come out and be unified, unlike everything we've seen throughout the summer from that conference.
Yeah, again, it says that they voted unanimously. So, Reese, I'm just doing the math. If they open the weekend of the 23rd and 24th, that's 9 weeks until December 20th, when you will be hosting the College Football Playoff Selection Special. So that would give them the opportunity to play an eight-game season, perhaps, and then a conference championship game. And the other conferences will have to approve them then being eligible for the College Football Playoff. Is there any question in your mind those things will happen?
Not in my mind, Greeny, and I haven't spoken with anybody on the committee yet, but there's no reason for them not to be included. That's a large enough sample size. And, you know, we've over the years have debated the merits of strength of schedule, but I think everybody has to understand that in this year of the pandemic and the havoc it has wreaked on schedules, obviously that's not as important as public health, but we're a sports show, so you know what I mean. I think a little grace and latitude is appropriate. In an eight-game conference schedule in a major conference like the Big Ten is more than large enough a sample size for the committee to determine if one of the Big Ten teams is among the four best.
And then just a final thought here to put a little football into the football conversation for those who don't follow it closely. I guess the biggest headline here is that now Ohio State gets into the mix. And when you look at the best teams in the country before all of this started, Ohio State was expected and I suppose should be again, Reese, to be among the very best teams in the nation and competing for a championship.
There's no question about that, Greeny. I thought they were one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win it now. They've had a couple of guys opt out since then, and we've seen at LSU some guys opt out and then opt back in. I don't know whether guys like Sean Wade and Wyatt Davis, two starters who have recently opted out, are in position from an eligibility standpoint to make that decision, or even if they are, if they would make that choice. But, you know, that doesn't stop Ohio State from being a contender to win the national championship, but certainly it would help, and it bears watching to see whether really across the conference, any of the players who have chosen not to play would be in a position from an eligibility standpoint to change their minds.
Again, enormous breaking news this morning. The Big Ten announcing today that they are coming back to play. The announcement came out just moments ago. They will begin the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day, thank you so much, my friend, for jumping in here on short notice. I am an alum of a Big Ten university, and so is my friend Jalen Rose, who, of course, bleeds maize and blue. And we're going to get to all the hoops this morning, Jalen, but this news just breaking for us in the last few minutes. Let me get your reaction. What do you think of this, the Big Ten coming back to play starting in the middle of October?
I feel like Carlton or something. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. That's how I feel. In all honesty, they checked all of the boxes, Greeny. It was really smart for the Big Ten and the Pac-12 not to be the first people to jump into the pool, to kind of pay attention to what the landscape was going to happen, what was going to happen throughout the landscape of collegiate football. And then you don't be the first people to make a mistake. And so I think that's what they protected themselves against. And also you wanted to see what's going to happen with the other students that aren't athletes.
You can't with a straight face tell the football players to not only be on campus and practice, but to play games and not get paid while their collegiate classmates aren't going to school. But now with virtual learning, now with staggering of classes, where certain amounts of scholars are able to be in class, it now makes sense that students can be in class, that they are also allowed to play football if they can keep themselves healthy.
Okay, so that is the huge news developing in just this hour. Meanwhile, Jalen, let me get to the things we originally wanted to talk about. I will get you to the Clippers, but we did not get a chance to show the Celtic highlight, Celtics Heat last night, game one at the beginning of this hour, because the news broke. Let me show it to you. It was the game of the night, and it involved a play that is going to be talked about forever. We're going to pick up the highlight here, Celtics Heat, game one, East Conference Finals, in the fourth quarter, under 30 seconds left in the Celtics, a two-point lead. Where did the Heat go for a bucket? Of course you know. Jimmy Butler in the corner. That's a three. Fast forward, game tied 106. Celtics holding for the final shot. Jason Tatum, 3-2-1 for the ball game. It's no good. He would score 30, but that one doesn't go. We're going to overtime, tied at 106. 29 seconds remaining. Celtics down by one. Kemba Walker struggling with his offensive game, just 6 of 19 shooting. But this, the patented fallback, Celtics take a one-point lead. Ensuing Heat possession. Butler guarded by Tatum. Look at the power of Jimmy Butler. Yes, plus the foul. He would score 20. He'd make the free throw. So the Heat are up by two, and that sets the stage for this. 10 seconds left. Celtics with a chance. Down that deuce. Here comes Jason Tatum. Oh, bam! Adebayo coming from nowhere and making the block heard round the world. Left hand. Watch the wrist bend back. No body contact whatsoever. You can't block a shot more cleanly. Coming from the other side. And on that play, the Heat hold on to win 117-114. And don't take it from me. Take it from Magic Johnson, who said Bam Adebayo's block on Jason Tatum's dunk attempt was the best defensive play I've seen ever in the playoffs. So, Jalen Rose, let me come to you. Is that the best defensive play you've ever seen in the playoffs?
I hate to be the person that doesn't have sensationalism with all of his commentary. It's an outstanding block, a game-saving block. But when you start talking about the greatest blocks in the history of basketball, you have to think about the stage that they happened on. And this is the first round of the conference finals, game one. There are so many plays. LeBron's block against Andre Iguodala comes to mind when there's like a game seven and a championship on the line. So this is an outstanding play. It could be a series altering play because winning game one when these two teams are so vastly different in a lot of ways could now catapult the Miami Heat into a position to put the Celtics at a must-win game two, because that's what it's going to be.
And you'll see that tomorrow night again, Jalen and company with Countdown, and then we've got the East Conference Finals on ESPN. Okay, I've waited this long to get you to the main event. The Clippers had a 3-1 lead against Denver with a team that was put together to win a championship. We showed you the highlight at the beginning of this hour. They lose game five, blowing a 16-point lead. They lose game six, blowing a 19-point lead. And last night, with their season on the line, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined to score 0 points in the fourth quarter, and out they go in game seven. Jalen, the floor is yours.
So I'm going to make sure I celebrate my Denver Nuggets later, because Michael Greenberg, you know how much I love that team and how we've been talking about them for the last couple of years, and I got bets all across the network because of the Denver Nuggets. With that being said, let's start with the Clippers. You can't skip steps. What happened with them is a classic example of why I love sports, Greeny. It's a microcosm of society. It shows you how to deal with success and adversity and how you deal with favor, but also how you nurture yourself to the goal. So many times, you feel like we put a roster together, so now we're going to win the championship in the first year. And I'm guilty. I picked the Clippers to win the West, and I picked them to win the championship. But now I think back, I'm like, LeBron and the Big Three didn't win it the first year. You can't rush the baby. The doctor tells you 9 months, and sometimes it might happen in 4 or 5. Might happen in 6 or 7. Might happen in 8 or 9. You can't rush it. And the other thing that I like about this, it becomes a lesson to
counting your chickens before they hatched. Because the Clippers, they did a lot of celebrating, Greeny. They felt entitled. What I saw with Dame Lillard, and he missed those free throws, Patrick Beverly, he had a lot of fun with that. Paul George on Twitter, they had a lot of fun with that. And they made sure that they let the Portland Trail Blazers know to enjoy your vacation. Enjoy Cancun. The problem is Dame Lillard need to get an extra suite for Paul George. Because the last couple of years now, and this is adversity, and I think Big Sean, shout to him, great Detroit 2 album. He said this on his album. He said he liked to put his back against the wall to see how much he's grown. That's what I feel about Paul George right now. Game-winning shot, Dame Lillard shoots him out of the playoffs. He goes to the podium. He says it's a bad shot. He leaves OKC to join join Kawhi Leonard. They feel like they have what it takes to win a championship, and they lose to the Denver Nuggets in the second round. I can't wait to see what this adversity is going to do to grow the Clippers. They're still a great team, everybody. I know y'all want to trash them. They're still a great team. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, they didn't show up in the big game. That's what you need. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, didn't show up in this series, where defensive liabilities and their height were a problem defensively. And lastly, Doc Rivers is one of the best coaches in the NBA. And they do have a great coaching staff. And all of those guys should be in line for jobs. Okay? Sam Cassell, Tyronn Lue, they should be in line for jobs. However, this is going to leave a stain. This is Doc Rivers' third time leading a basketball team that had a 3-1 lead, and they lost the series. And I was there each time. I saw when it happened to the Pistons. I was in the gym when it happened to the Rockets, and then yesterday. So this is something that the Clippers are going to get by. Their organization is going to respond. There is no knee-jerk reaction. Just try to find a way to keep Montrez. Try to find a way to keep Morris. There is no knee-jerk reaction. Just don't skip steps. You can't load manage throughout the regular season. The team wasn't healthy all year. They only played less than 20 games total together. And then once they got in the bubble, Lou was in and out. Beverly was in and out. Montrez was in and out. And they never got the cohesion that they needed. And they got shot down by the Joker, Murray, and the Denver Nuggets. Give them props in the Mile High.
Absolutely. I mean, from the very first day we launched this show, 2.5 years ago, you have been talking about the Nuggets. And so now they get LeBron and AD and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Give me a quick preview. What do you like in that series?
All I know is this. LeBron took a Stan Van Gundy wine swig last night. He like, wait a minute. Hold on. The Clippers were supposed to be my in-building rival and didn't even get to play against me in the conference finals? LeBron's shoes were oversized last night. He slept really good, Greeny. And the Lakers are in pole position to win this series. Their matchups for Jokic are going to be distinctly better than the Clippers. You have AD. You have Dwight. You have JaVale. They have so much height. They have so much bulk. Murray has been terrific. But this series is all about crowning the king. Let's bow down. And now I got to start having these conversations again about who's the GOAT of all time. Because LeBron James, Greeny, about to win his fourth championship this year.
Yes, he
is. LeBron James about to win his fourth championship this year.
And someone really smart has been telling you all year long that was going to happen and that no, someone is raising his hand. I got to get Jalen, you're the best. I love you. Crazy morning. I got work in here. We will check in again tomorrow as we work our way through this. Again, tomorrow night, we've got Miami-Boston game 2. That's Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern. It's on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coverage will begin at 6, as usual, with NBA Countdown. But I'm looking over to my left and I see that man, Desmond Howard, is ready to go. The Big Ten is coming back. What is Desmond's reaction? He will tell you next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and again, breaking news this morning, and it is significant. Big Ten football is back. They are returning the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. It was August 11th that they announced that they were suspending all football activity. That has now been reversed based on a variety of factors, including new medical information and new testing availability. Again, the Big Ten is coming back to play beginning the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. We have some of the statement for you here that was released by the conference. The Big Ten Council of Presidents and Chancellors adopted significant medical protocols, including daily antigen testing, enhanced cardiac screening, enhanced data-driven approach when making decisions about practice and competition. They say it was a unanimous decision to return the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. The best player in that conference, oh, there's more. The decision was based on information presented by the Big Ten Return to Competition Task Force, a working group that was established by the commissioner. Let's move on to the tweet. We got Justin Fields, who tweeted, very simply tweeted, let's go. I'm seeing all this stuff for the first time as you are, as this news is literally developing as we speak. Let me bring in one of the great players in the history of Big Ten football, our very own Desmond Howard, along with Neek here to get some reaction. Des, the floor is yours. You were on my show the morning after it was announced they were shutting down. Now here we are a month later and the decision has been changed. What's your reaction this morning?
Great news for college football. Great news for college game day. Great news for everybody. You know, all we're waiting for now is the Pac-12 to make the same decision, and then we can get the whole band back together again. This is great. I'm so excited to see this this news come down the pipeline, but this was something that we could see happening because of what happened out there in the Pac-12. We had Larry Scott on game day, and when he was on game day, he made a comment about how they had made a deal with, I think it's called Quidel, a laboratory, to get the rapid testing. So he knew it was just a matter of time before the Big Ten made a similar deal. And that's what it all came down to, Greeny, about getting the rapid testing and making sure that these health, that the health of the players was okay.
I'm getting a lot of this information sort of as I go. But Desmond, it does appear they will start the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. They will try and squeeze eight games into 8 weeks in their schedule, then play a conference championship on December 19th with the college football playoff selection show the following day, the 20th. What do you think of that scheduling and the idea that the champion who emerges from that will have a chance, whether it's Ohio State or anybody else, will have a chance to get into the college football playoff?
You know, Greeny, that's very interesting because we had Coach Ryan Day, Ohio State's head coach, on the show last Saturday. And his target date for this whole thing to work would have been the previous week, like October 17th, I believe. Mm-hmm. So for them to start a week later, it makes me wonder if they're going to be able to pull this off in time based on the schedule that Ryan Day laid out for us as far as when the Big Ten championship game will be played. And also heard Heather Dinich earlier this morning. She repeated the same schedule. So for them to have to start a week later, it puts a lot of strain on them as a conference in order to get those games in that short period of time and make sure they're still allowed or still able to participate in the college football playoff. I'm really curious to see how this plays off. But Greeny, I spoke to Kevin Warren yesterday, and I could tell by his spirit that things were going in the right direction. He had commented on the test, the rapid testing. He said that we always followed the science. We never wavered for that. And let me even back up. It's not even Kevin Warren's decision. It's the chancellors and presidents of the universities of the Big Ten who got more knowledge and more experience in the sciences and the medical fields. And they're the ones that had to be comfortable with whatever medical information that was laid out in front of them to move forward. But they always stuck to their guns when it came to science and medicine and the health of the student athletes.
And I will repeat again, the president of your university, Desmond, at Michigan, is an epidemiologist. So obviously well-versed in all the things we're talking about here. Dominic Foxworth, you played at Maryland. It was not part of the Big Ten then. It is now. What is your reaction to this news?
I think that it's fair for us all to be excited. And I do think that the Big Ten handled this better than several other conferences in the country. However, I do think that while we're all celebrating now, the coaches, the players even are celebrating, and the fans and all the people who cover the sport, it's a very big day, an exciting day. But I do also wonder how different this would be if the players had some representation, because my concern is not necessarily for the things that they put into place right now, because I think all the precautions they put into to place right now. While they will help the players stay healthy, those precautions are in place to preserve the season. I'd be much more concerned, given that the players are technically not employees, if there are some long-term health impacts. And there are hundreds of players who are going to be exposed. There will be long-term health impacts for some of those players. And I don't think that we're going to remember those players' names. We're not going to care much about those players 10, 20 years from now if they have issues. And we're going to look back on all this fun that we had, which I don't want to be the one raining on the parade, but no one is actually looking out for these players in this moment. I think it looks as if they are looking out for the players by saying that they're putting all this testing in place, but no one is actually looking out for the players. They're doing what's in their best interest. Some players who are going to head to the NFL may benefit from this, but the vast majority of the players probably would have been better off if they did not have a season and they were not exposed to this.
It's one way of looking at it, and obviously we will keep an eye on the medical piece of it. Desmond, let me ask you one football question. If we had done a preview of the season before all the things that happened, where would you have thought Ohio State belongs among the best teams in the country?
At the top, you know, there's no doubt about that. When you got a quarterback like Justin Fields leading your team, Ryan Day has done an extraordinary job taking over for Urban Meyer. They have great players coming back on defense. They would have been at the top up there with the Clemsons and the Alabamas, no doubt about that. That's why you see Ryan Day and coaches like that out there clamoring to get this season. Ryan Day understood he had a team, well, he has a team that can compete for a national championship, at least by, you know, in his own mind. So I would say they would have been right up there at the top with Clemson and Alabama.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much. I've run out of show. I could keep talking about this for hours. Neek, thank you. Desmond, thank you for jumping in again. Huge news. The Big Ten announcing officially they're coming back to play the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. Meanwhile, I'll take a short break here. And coming up at the top of the hour, First Take. This year was supposed to be different, but it's the same as it ever was for the Clippers. Who takes the blame? Stephen A., Max, and Molly answer that question and more. First Take in 5 minutes on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Domino's. Domino's will now bring your carryout order right to your car. Order online. Meanwhile, if you like baseball, today's a good day for you here on ESPN. We have a triple header starting 4 Eastern. Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres hosting Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. Then it's Bryce Harper and the Phils up against Jacob deGrom and the Mets. And we cap it off with Mike Trout and the Angels hosting the Diamondbacks. All 3 games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, my poll right now, the Eagles running away and hiding. Which team's performance was most alarming to you? You can still cast your vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. We will keep that up through my radio show today, which starts at noon Eastern, where I'll be talking about the enormous breaking news. The Big Ten is coming back starting the middle of October. What does it mean? Lots of answers to get to. We'll get to those, and so will First Take, starting now.